Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Dr. Elizabeth Smith, the host of Balling with the Don. It's a Talking Sports Plus radio show production. And we're so excited to come before you on this fabulous Friday. And I know everybody had an awesome day at work. If not, I'm truly speaking that and hope you can find some positive things that happened today at work to lead you off into the weekend. It's an exciting weekend. We're getting ready for the weekend now. On Wednesday, our Hump Day show, we talked about some very important topics. We talked about Round Ball Classic 2019. Everybody getting ready to get into the conference. It's at grind time. Everybody trying to make sure they're in a good position for March Madness that's coming up, or for the high schools in most states in the southeastern part of the United States, you're going to call it the February March 1st Madness. So it's time. Basketball is coming to an end, and everybody's so excited. I'm excited to get right into this playoff deal. But we got some topics today that we're going to try to talk on in regards to what happened in historical black colleges and universities storyline, as well as your Coach's Corner. That's a corner. That's a segment that we have. And we also take an opportunity to look at some high schools basketball recaps in the southeastern part of the United States. Now, our call-in number for the show today is 347-857-4192. And if you want to go to the web link, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. You can pause in that because a lot of time individuals have been texting me, letting me know, oh, are you going a little too fast? We want to make sure we can hear it. But if you just want to listen to the show, you can go to the web link and listen to the show. Now, we are also being broadcast through Facebook as well as Instagram. So you can just go to DRL Alberto Smith at Facebook.com. Just go to Lorenza D. Smith 15 on Instagram, and you'll be able to pick up what we're doing now, the live broadcast. Again, we're here. We're normally here at 4 o'clock, but we moved the time back to 5 o'clock so we can just kind of bring some things to you without being in a rush mode, more or less. And we actually, if you want to be a major part of the show, we want you to call in. Our board is beginning to light up. You can call in and just to that 347-857-4192, and then we'll allow you, if you want to share your thoughts with us about whatever topics we are talking about, we'll ask you to press 1. But when you press 1, make sure you have your phone on mute where you can't pick up everything in the background. And after you press 1, we'll identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then we'll ask you to identify yourself, your location, then join in with the discussion. Our topic for today, more or less our title for today, is Real Talk About the Hottest Sports Topics of the Week. There are some hot topics that have been going on, not only in historical black colleges and universities, as well as professional rank, as well as the college rank in regards to the Power Five and Group of Five. So you have that going on. We just want to make sure we share all those thoughts, as well as some things dealing with the high school as well. Now, if you want to tweet the show, you can go to @ballin.@talkingsportsplus with the number 1, as well as if you want to listen to the show after we complete it, you can hit the episode on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Tumblr, and Blog Talk Radio. You can go and listen to each one of the episodes that we already have and the one today as well. All right, let's kind of get started with what we're going to do today because we have a format that's full of some outstanding topics that we want to talk about. We'll start off with the historical black colleges and university storyline dealing with college basketball. After the first week, we had some outstanding basketball play. We consider the first week is in January for most of your team to start playing conference play. So when we get to the historical black college and university, that's the main time you can get those matchups that's outstanding. And you want to talk about starting from the first day of January and ending in the last of February, close to March 1st. We'll start off with a game that was played last weekend in Birmingham called the Magic City Classic on the Hardwood between Alabama State University and Alabama A&M University. And the game was held at the Bill Harris Arena over there in Fair Park. They had done some renovation over there. They have a Metroplex over there, and they call it Sportsplex, and it's so exciting to get a chance to go over there and sit in that arena while other things are going on, like track is going on while we were there. So we really enjoyed the opportunity. We had some results, and this one, which is with Alabama A&M home game because of some things that was occurring in their gym up in Huntsville and had it in Birmingham, went to Alabama State University. The final score for the men, it was 72 to 54. And Alabama State just cruised pretty much past Alabama A&M in the Magic City Classic. They're led by Jacoby Ross. He's the leader of that team. He was a point guard last year, but he's a two guard this year. So he just had an exciting weekend. Actually had an exciting week because he played real well Monday of the previous last week, and he just led that team, and they were successful. Alabama A&M gave them the best fight they can give, but Alabama State was just a little bit too strong for them. So we'll applaud both teams for participating in the Magic City Classic on the hardwood. So we'll say congratulations to Alabama State University. Then on the women's side, you had ASU, Alabama State University women 60, Alabama A&M 46. Alabama State girls, women was led by a freshman. That freshman was Ayanna Emanuel. She had 17 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. So she led Alabama State with the win over Alabama A&M. Now, the records at this point for those teams that we want to talk a little bit about the SWAC standings, at this point, you have Alabama State is in second place in the men's division of the SWAC with a 4-1 record, and have a outstanding weekend coming up starting tomorrow, Saturday, and Monday as well. Prairie View leads the division of men's at 5-0. Texas Southern University is 3-1. Arkansas Pine Bluff is 3-2. Grambling is 3-3. Jacksonville State stands at 3-3. Alcorn is 2-4. As well as Mississippi Valley, who's 1-4. And last but not least, Alabama A&M University, 1-4 on the men's side. On the women's side, Southern University leads the women. They are 5-1. Grambling is 5-1. Prairie View is 3-1. Alabama A&M is 3-2. Alabama State is 3-2. So if you flip-flop those because of that loss, Alabama State would be in 4, A&M would be in 5. Texas Southern is 2-3. You have Mississippi Valley stands at 2-3, and Alcorn is 2-4, as well as Arkansas Pine Bluff stands at 2-4. Now, I'm getting some text there. What exactly are the conferences that make up the historical black colleges and universities? And I want to take time as I spewed off the scores dealing with the standings, dealing with the SWAC, which is the Southwest Athletic Conference. And I wanted to make sure that we understand that's the SWAC that consists of those teams I just mentioned on both men and women's side. We also want to mention the MEAC, which is the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. We have the teams that and the standings from there. That's those teams up from South Florida or from the central part of Florida all the way up to the state of Maryland. You have, in actuality, you have in the men's division, you have Norfolk State leading the conference at 6-0. You also have North Carolina A&T at 5-0. You have North Carolina Central at 4-1. Bethune-Cookman 3-2. FAMU, we're talking about the men, 3-2. You have Coffin State 3-3. Howard University 2-3. South Carolina State 2-3, Morgan 2-4, Savannah State 1-3, Maryland Eastern Shore 1-5, and Delaware State at 4-6. On the women's side, the lead is Norfolk State 6-0. North Carolina A&T is in second place at 5-0. Maryland Eastern Shore in third place at 5-1. Howard University is 3-2. Morgan State is 3-3. You have Savannah State there, 2-2. Bethune-Cookman stands at 2-3. South Carolina State is 2-3. North Carolina Central 1-4. And then you have FAMU 1-4. Delaware State 1-5. And Coffin State 1-5. That's the women's division of the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. We also want to share the SIAC, which is the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. And they have two divisions. They have the Eastern Division and the Western Division. The leader of the Eastern Division, I'll call out the top four teams in that Eastern Division. On the men's side, you have Morehouse is 9-2. Their record is 9-2. Conference record. Albany State 6-4. Payne College 4-6. Fort Valley State University 3-7. On the western side of the men's division, you have Miles College 8-2. Tuskegee University 7-3. You have Lamont Owen 8-4. And Lane 7-4. On the women's side, Benedict leads the women's side in the East. They are 9-0. Albany State is 4-5. Clark is 4-7. Valley, Fort Valley is 3-6. On the western side of that conference, which would be Tuskegee, they're 8-2. Lamont Owen 7-4. Miles is 5-4. Lane is 5-5. So those are top four teams dealing with the SIAC. We also have another conference called the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Conference Athletic Association, and it's up on that farther east coast, Atlantic coast up there, and teams that make up, they have two divisions, the men's, they have Northern and the Southern division, and the leader of that is Virginia State at 7-0, Bowie State at 7-1, and Chowan is 4-3. Elizabeth City State is 6-2. On the southern part of the division, you have Livingstone 3-4, Winston-Salem 3-4, Chaplin, which is 5-7. You have Shaw 2-5, Fairfield State 2-5. And on the women's side, Virginia Union leads that at 6-1. Elizabeth City State is 4-4. Lincoln is 4-4. Bowie State 7-1. And that's the northern part. On the southern part of there, you have Winston-Salem, you have 5-2. Johnson C. Smith is 5-2. Claflin 8-5. St. Augustine 1-8. So we have those teams that are playing in the CIAA. So we're coming closer to getting the time of actually getting ready for playoffs. You know, at the end of February, all these teams will be playing that tournament, and we'll just say, you know, we just have to just kind of push forth and be prepared to play a part in it. So that's our Historical Black Colleges and Universities storyline. You can be a part of this. You can call in 347-857-4192 if you want to share your thoughts in regards to what exactly is going on in the conference. If it's your conference, the SWAC or MEAC, CIAA, SIAC, those games are going on, and that's constantly every weekend on Monday and Saturday night. They're playing to get to March Madness. All right, we want to kind of move to our coach's corner, and we always take this time to talk about those things that's happening among coaches or within the schools. Not specifically trying to bring out a school and talk about a school. We want to talk about the coach's corner all over. Sports, specifically in football, basketball, baseball, whatever it may be. And these are the hottest topics of the week, and we want to talk about. The first topic we want to talk about is discuss the latest on Alabama ever-changing coaching staff. There had been some discussion by our talking heads and pundits about this staff is changing so much. For last year, Bob was saying, in January when they played Clemson, that was one of the things a lot of people said the reason Alabama did not perform at the level it did, because the coaching staff was a little bit young, couldn't make the decision, hadn't been in the field long enough. So it led to the point that those teams, which is Clemson, who have a more cohesive staff, a staff that's been there longer, got longevity, was able to get those players to get at a higher level and make some of the right calls. So the question is, why is a continued ever changing staff members on the football, University of Alabama football team? So that's what we're talking about. And one of the things I can see is that a lot of the coaches that are there come to get 1 or 2 years so they can move on to something they are considered to be, in their eyes, bigger and better. But that's what it's all about. Most of the coaches that left move for advancement, and some made lateral moves when they thought they may have not got that position as coordinator. They moved to a place that they could be officially coordinated. So That's one of the main reasons why a lot of the individuals are moving forward. There's always a change, and you can get ready to be a change in 2 years. And I think what has happened, Nick Saban has decided he's going to bring in some coaches with a little bit more maturity that's going to come in. Sarkisian being one of them, elevating Butch Jones, who was a head coach. Sarkisian was a head coach. Sark was also a professional coach. So you got several other coaches that's coming in every day, moving Pete Golden up to be the defensive coordinator to work with Nick Saban. So you're getting a little bit more maturity there, and that's what was one of the downfalls for last year. Not making an excuse for the Clemson putting the whipping on them. They took Alabama to the woodshed, and they laid the wood to them. The score was 44-16 in that championship game, and it was sort of like an embarrassing moment for Nick Saban, one of the worst losses he has encountered. So you got a situation where each of these individuals are shared, making some changes to make sure they're successful. So we're going to look forward to doing some real positive things in watching what's going on so we can share it with you. Our call-in number, again, is 347-857-4192. If you want to be a part where you can share your thoughts, you just press 1. I identify you the last 4 digits of your cell or your telephone number, and then I will ask you to identify yourself, your location, then jump into the conversation, show us your expertise or share your expertise with us. So you can do that. Make that call. Be a part of it. If you just want to email us, and our email is TalkingSportsPlus@gmail.com or LorenzaDSmith15@gmail.com. You can email us or tweet the show, which is BallinDoc or @LorenzaDSmith, or you can just sort of just go to TalkingSportsPlus with the number 1. So those are ways to make contact with us, and we want you to be a part of it so you can share your thoughts on some of these topics. The next topic is Clemson the favorite to repeat? I do believe Clemson will be in a good position next year to get to that final game. Now, repeating, that's something different, which hadn't occurred during the playoff version of this before, when you had the 2 teams and you had the bowl series. You had a repeat. Alabama 11-12 was going for a third one when they lost. But it's a little bit difficult this time because you have these 4 teams. You're playing 2 games instead of 1 game for the championship. So is they repeat? They'll be a strong runner for repeating along with Alabama, the University of Alabama, along with Oklahoma, along with several other teams that's going to work their way in it. Notre Dame will be somewhere talked about. So you had to kind of keep an eye and see, will they are considered to be in a position to repeat, but they also got to compete to the level back again and see the possibility of that same team, the University of Alabama, who will have a 2-year mature quarterback, whereas their quarterback will be, well, we'll actually say they'll say 2.5 years for Tua and the second year for a 1-year mature with Trevor Lawrence. So it's going to be outstanding. Clemson has to take one step back due to that defensive line. All 4 of those or 5 of those guys will be drafted in the first round because defensive linemen will be at a premium, and a lot of them will come out this coming year. So you will see several of them could have been drafted last year, but they chose to stay. Dexter Lawrence chose to stay back another year to win this championship. So here you are. You're looking at a situation where they're going to take one step back. Regardless who's been shipped, they're not the same as your players. That's going to be a step back, and we'll kind of see. However, the offense will be explosive again. So it's going to be outstanding. We're talking about Clemson now. As well as you want to talk about Alabama, you can. It's fine. Call in, share your thoughts on it, email me or tweet me to let me know exactly how you feel about the whole situation. Now, the next question that we had, what adjustment should Alabama football program make after that disaster of performance? What should Nick Saban do? I want to know. Share your thoughts on it. Personally, I just believe that there's a situation where you have to continue to build on what you have. You have to make sure your players get enough reps
so they don't get to the point thinking they can cruise through every game. And then when they meet teams that have a little bit more resistance, they try their best to fight back, and unfortunately, they're not able to be successful on their end. So they're going to have to do some things. I think that the loss will be the incentive for them to work hard, you know, finish in 19. So you look forward to kind of see a little more competitiveness if they get to that championship game, and it will be something we can watch and talk about. So that's what he needs to make sure the kids are focused, make sure his staff is in place, and they have some mature individual. It may not help with the recruiting part as much as you think it should, but it will help with having mature coaches who had experienced a lot. You can never replace experience. Now, it was earlier I was listening to a pundits and talking head talking about the number one team in basketball, and that's Tennessee, the University of Tennessee, because they have mature ball players who's been there 4 years and 5 years. And it makes a difference when they may play against a team like Duke with first-year players. They're outstanding first-year players, some of the best I've seen. Williamson and Barrett is two of the best I've seen in a long time on one team. So when you see that, you kind of see, okay, what's going to happen when they go against that experienced team? They're going to have a problem. They're going to run into the problem. They did that earlier when they played Gonzaga. They had a problem. They ran into that situation. So we want to see if you continue to mature your team and have mature coaches, you can be in the running. We was talking about what adjustment that Alabama needed to do, the University of Alabama football team, to had to do to not encounter that loss, or that considered the worst loss in Saban tenure. So this is something they had to do. Our call-in number again is 347-857-4192. And we want you to join us. Make sure you take time to give us a holler. Holler at us, because we're all about talking sports, sharing our thoughts on it. We want you to do the same. Now, remember, if you want to share your thoughts, press 1. Identify the last 4 digits of your cell number or telephone number. Then I will ask you to come on, and I'll let you know you're live, and you will be able to tell us who you are and your location. But I do ask that you mute your phone to the point where we won't pick up all of that background noise that might be, because we all want to hear ourselves on the radio. We all want to hear what's going on and what we're talking about. So we look forward to having you join us in the next 30 minutes or 10 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever. We appreciate each and every one of those individuals that's joining us on Facebook. We have a list of individuals joining us, and I always take at the end of our show, we give a shout out to each one of those individuals joining us. And again, I want to appreciate you watching us. We're having some technical difficulty with our Instagram. For some reason, it just kind of shut down completely, but we're going to move forward and try to move this show on with what we have, and we thank you. Now, we're normally able to broadcast Facebook, Instagram, Periscope, through Twitter, as well as YouTube television. But sometimes we need some of the devices to make sure we can get our Blog Talk Radio show on available so it can be heard around the country. And we're so proud to have this opportunity to bring this show to you. And it's not only heard just in the southeastern part of the United States. I was looking at some data today, and the percentage of individuals listening, not only just in the United States, but we have listeners in Greece. We have listeners in Norway, Dubai, and pretty much all over the world. And through Facebook, we have several individuals who join us or just watching to the point where they're from countries, Nigeria, Uganda. We also have individuals from the Caribbean. It's all over the world checking us out, and we appreciate it. This is Ballin' with the Doc, and we're so proud to have an opportunity. I am Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith. I host this show every Friday, and we'll be moving to that time slot at 5 o'clock on Friday. Unless there's something occurring that on Friday that we can't do it on Friday, we push it back to Saturday. And we'll probably move the show to every other week. It won't have it every week because we have two other shows that we do, one of them every week, which is Talking Sports Plus. You see the banner behind me for those individuals on Facebook. for the ones that are listening to Talking Sports Plus is aired on Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And we offer some hot topics on that as well. Excuse me. We want to make sure we be able to clear that throat and make sure I can talk with you like I need to. All right, the next topic we're going to focus on is who is the GOAT, the GOAT, between LeBron James and Tom Brady. On our show on Wednesday night, that was a discussion. We had choices, and some of them chose LeBron James. Some of the co-hosts chose Tom Brady. We can't say it's a magnificent thing, a man that's 42 years old, soon to be 42 years old, and been to 9 Super Bowls and won 5 of them in his efforts to be successful. He wants to win another one, which will make 6. So we have to say he's one of the greatest of all time in professional football as a quarterback. And we have to applaud Tom Brady. Then LeBron has done some outstanding things as well, getting a chance to go to 8 championships and winning 3 of them. So we'll applaud both of those, and both of them are GOAT. But the all-time GOAT is in basketball is Michael Jordan. There's a competitive effort by LeBron James that kept, but there's other players playing at a high level. For example, you look at players, Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant. You see them doing some things. The bearded man, you know who he is. He's scoring points all over the place, all over the heart. James Harden, who's scored 61 points on Thursday night. That was a lot of points that he scored, and that was against the Knicks. So you see him working toward being in that own tower, being the GOAT, especially dealing with scoring and all that. May not get to the championship because he's never been to a championship game like LeBron, but it may happen, it may not, we don't know, but he's scoring at a rate that's high as it's ever been, probably maybe 50 years. You know, you had Wilt Chamberlain scoring points like that, and everybody was – nowhere close to the size of Wilt Chamberlain back then. And he just dumb. He scored 100 points in a game. So you know he can score some points, but Harden is scoring as well. There are several other players you can talk about, but however those players can fit in that GOAT eventually as our players like LeBron retire eventually in the next 3 or 4 years, and it'll begin to be mentioning those people being the GOAT. All right, the next thing we want to look at is the if anyone saw this is dealing with the NFL, that the NFL game between the NFC Championship game, let me get that correct, between the Los Angeles Rams and the New Orleans Saints. And you had a situation late in the ball game with about a minute and 40 seconds or so to go, may have been 2 minutes, somewhere around that belt. And there was a pass thrown by Drew Brees to his a receiver, and the receiver was literally blasted even before the ball came anywhere close. But there was no flag. You had two situations going on. You had pass interference, and you had helmet to the helmet. And it's hard for me to comprehend, and I know it's hard for the Saints fan to accept, but eventually you have to, because we're going to talk about the commissioner and what he could do to make a difference with this. I don't know. It's not going to be no change in the score because the final score is it should have been a flag thrown. That's not human error. That's just human, just neglect of what you're supposed to do. Because it's obvious, they say, if there's a situation and you see it dealing with helmet to helmet or passing the first, throw the flag, and you can always make the decision later on. And maybe they didn't feel like the helmet was full enough contact to pretty much not throw the flag. But it was egregious. It's been talked about all week, and we're going to continue to talk about it because we want to hear exactly what the commish want to do when he come out and make a statement in regards to that. What's going to happen? Maybe nothing to this situation, but in the future, I think that I don't think every pass interference call should be thrown. for some time. They're both fighting. But in this situation, when a player stands up there and blatantly unleashes on another player, and you say there's no call, no foul, and it's hard to believe. It's not about whether New Orleans would have won the ball game or not. It was a blatant violation, a blatant oversight of the rule, and has no remorse in regards to it. So that's the situation. The official blew it, and they deserve to be called out. They've been called out. There have been some explanations, some apologies, and all of that, saying they missed the call, but that does not bring the hard work, because you're not guaranteed to have this opportunity to be back in the NFC or the AFC game. So that's some talking that's constantly going to go on about what should happen. Hopefully there's a decision that is going to make the play move smoothly and we don't have a bunch of flags or stoppage of it just to review everything. But however, make that call, whether you feel like it is or not. That way you allow the players to maximize what they're trying to do on that field. So we'll look forward to see what's going on. And like I say, the commissioner will have an opportunity to make a decision, because he has that power to could have stepped in at the time, even though he was at the AFC game, probably received a call to say, you probably need to go to the monitor and look at this and let's make a call on it. That could have happened. I know he said bang, bang situation, but bang, bang or not, you have to make the decision that everybody's going to be fairly treated. And not saying the Saints was not fairly treated. It's just in that situation, that should have been a flag call. It's like spilt milk. But however, you have two teams that's in the championship game from the NFC. You have the Los Angeles Rams, and you have, and that's Jared Goff will be the quarterback against Tom Brady of New England Patriots. And we're going to see the man with many years, the man of wisdom, and the young whippersnapper. We're going to see exactly how this turned out as a whole team. So we look forward to our outstanding game coming up in a week's time. Next week will be a lot of talking. We'll talk about it during Talking Sports Plus, and we'll talk about exactly what to expect, what to see in this championship game. All right, we're going to move to some high school, and we have a list of things that we're going to, every week we try to make sure we touch on teams in the southeastern part of the United States. Last week we did Florida high school athletics or high school basketball. This week we're going to do some rankings in the state of Georgia. We're going to start with the boys, and we're going to look at the 5A. They have five classes in the state of Georgia, and number one ranked team in the 5A is Miller, number two is Wheeler, number three is Campbell, four is South Gwinnett, and number five is North Gwinnett in the 5A boys basketball. Class 4A, you have Miller Grove is number one, Sequoia is number two, Lovejoy is number three, Fayette County is number four, and Tucker is number five. You got some scores, call in. Take that opportunity to call in now, 347-857-4192. Or you can email me, or you can make sure you tweet me your score of the school that's in your area that we may not be calling out. But we're going to move from South Carolina. We're going to move up Tennessee, Mississippi, Arkansas. We're going to touch Louisiana, and we're going to touch those other areas in the southeastern part of the United States. All right, we're going to move to the 3A. You have Columbia, who's ranked number one, Washington, who's ranked number two, Carrollton, who's ranked number three, Monroe, ranked number four, and Troop, ranked number five. That's class 3A. Class 2A, we're still in boys in Georgia, Greater Atlanta Christian, South Atlanta is two, three is Thomasville, four is Langley, five is East Hill, and this is Class 2A. In Class 1A boys, you have Whitefield Academy, ranked number one, Wilkinson County, ranked number two, Terrell, Terrell County is ranked number three, Wilcox County is ranked number four, and this is Padilla is ranked number five. And the girls, I have the five top-ranked team out of each one of the classes. You have Class 5A, you have North Cross, ranked number one. Class 4A, we're talking about the girls in the state of Georgia now, basketball. You have Madison County, ranked number one. 4A, 3A, you have Washington County ranked in the 3A, ranked number one. You have Buford ranked number one in the 2A. And in the 1A, you have Westland. They're ranked number one. So those are the teams that make up the high school ranking in the state of Georgia. And we want to talk a little bit about the high school in the state of Alabama. You have a discussion. We want to talk about a Westside Classic. They play in an area in central Alabama between two neighborhoods, schools that are probably 2 or 3 miles away, playing outstanding basketball at one time. George Washington Carver High School was ranked number one, but they end up losing to the eighth-ranked team at the time, which was Sidney Lanier, who makes up what we call the Westside Classic. Sidney Lanier High School and George Washington Carver. So they lost to them a week ago by 19, but they played them on Wednesday night. And on Wednesday night, Carver returned the favor and beat Lanier 66-55 to even up the standings between them in the Westside Classic. Now they'll go to the area situation. One other team in the area is Park Crossing, and at this point the record reads 2-1, 2-1, 0-3. So we'll and 2-1 is Carver, 2-1 is Lanier, and 0-3 for Park Crossing. So we'll check that out and see how things turn out, see how that's going. So that is something big in this area, the Westside Classic on the hardwood, and the young people give themselves. So we applaud both schools. We applaud all of those individuals involved, whether they're players, coaches, administrators, teachers, just the whole school community, the parents and the communities, and all the supporting business of those young people at both of those schools, as well as the other schools in the city of Montgomery. We also want to talk about one of the teams that second in the power ranking. The first team is in the power ranking is Mountain Brook, who won that 7A state championship last year. This year, they're still ranked number one. Ranked number two is Robert E. Lee. Last time I looked at the record, they was 21-2 after they was down in Mobile last week playing. But since then, they lost two games. So I understand now they're 21-4. So they're playing, and they're playing at a high level. So they had dropped from being at number two slot. So they are in there. On the 6A, you have Pinson Valley that's leading it. And you have Lanier that was fourth and Carver that was eighth. So you still got a balance. You're probably going to have a swap in there. They're going to keep going back and forth because at the time Lanier beat Carver. Carver was ranked number one. Lanier was eight. They brought it to number four. Then come back and then lost two games, meaning losing to Brutech on Friday night of last week and then losing to Carver on Wednesday night. So that's Lanier, so they'll swap back on that. Some other teams that are rolling real well, we want to applaud Brubaker Tech over. It's a magnet school, a record of 23-2, and they're leading their division in 5A. Then also applaud Park Crossing Girls. Then lost two games, my understanding. And they're standing at 21-2. So they're in there and they're leading there. Both of those teams are ranked in the 5A and 6A girls' polls. So they're playing at a high level. And we want to mention some teams that are coming out of North Alabama. You have Lehigh of Huntsville, and they're ranked in that top four in that 6A, led by a young man named Kobe. And he's playing real well up there. The team is playing well, which if they can win their area tournament and move to the regional, which will be held in the state of Alabama in four areas. They'll be held one in Jacksonville, which is the northeast, accommodates part of those teams up in Huntsville area, as well as a team up in North Alabama. Then in Hansville, Alabama, you have the teams over there in northwest area, northwest division of it, and they'll take Columbia High School out of Huntsville as well, and you get a 6A as well as you have a 6A Lee. They played each other. Columbia beat them one time. They didn't beat Columbia, but they'll be in different areas, different divisions, different places to play the regional, which will be in Huntsville, Alabama, which is Jacksonville in the Northeast. And in the South, which was moved from Dothan, Alabama to Garrett Coliseum in Montgomery, you'll have those teams that make up the 6A here in Montgomery, which is the Carver, the Lanier. You have Park Crossing, if they can make it, and all of those teams that would make up that division that used to be in Dothan, Alabama, which would be in Montgomery at Garrett Coliseum. And then in the Central Region, that's the South Region I just mentioned. In the Central Region, you'll have those teams like the Robert E. Lees that make up in the 7A's. Then you have some other teams that kind of make it up, some of the private schools and all of them. So it's some basketball to be played. We're real excited about getting ready to continue to have some fun, because it's all about playing basketball at the highest level. Now, we're at a point where we have probably about 15 minutes to go, but I do want to share some thought in regards to these individuals, and I have to have one of my devices is kind of shutting my internet down, and I want to make sure I get that device off here so we won't have that device holding up our process. I'm so excited about having a chance to, again, to come before you and share my thoughts in regards to what's going on in college basketball, high school basketball, as well as some middle school basketball, because they're getting to the point now they are playing some middle school basketball. And that middle school basketball will – moving toward their tournament. I know in Montgomery, the teams that are leading the division, especially I can say in boys, eighth grade level, you have Bellingrath at the last standing was 10-0. Then you have that's the eighth grade team. Then you have the seventh grade team also playing at a high level. So those are the teams that's kind of leading. Well, Bellingrath both is leading the city. In regards up in Huntsville, you have Chapman, led by one of our co-hosts, and that's Coach Tremaine Edwards. They're sitting in first place right now, so they're waiting on their tournament to start on Tuesday in Huntsville, Alabama. So we look forward to seeing some exciting things from them as well. So, you know, it's sports time. It's hot. We're talking some things that's going on around here, but we're at the end of our show. We want to kind of wrap the show up because we want to bring what we're doing the next few days in regards to our shows. Our show is on Monday, and our show is on Wednesday. On Monday night, we'll have Talking With You host. It was hosted by me, Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith. We're going to be coming at you talking hard about some just plain old life issues, and we're going to do some things in regard to finance. We're going to have a group to come in and kind of talk about how you can move toward restoring your credit, some of the understandings about managing your credit, and that group is going to come in, and that group is going to be led by Keisha Woodbine, out of Atlanta, Georgia, and then she also brings her vice president along with her that's going to be a part of the show, as well as one of the agents, which is Lanice, and she'll be a part of the show as well. So we're really excited about bringing that to you. They're going to talk about how to help restore your credit and what agencies you need to make contact with. We're going to have some questions for them. So that show will be at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Monday night. That's Talking Real to You. And at the host for that show is myself, as I mentioned. The co-host is Lauren D. Smith. This show has the brand or the Father and Daughter Blog Talk Red Show, the only father and daughter blog talk radio show in the country, and we look forward to coming to you. Our other two co-hosts that's going to be with us is Miss Scarlett H. Black out of Greenville, South Carolina, as well as Dr. Olivia E. Smith out of Georgia. So those are the co-hosts that will be talking and sharing thoughts, but we also will have those guests to come in, and we look forward to having them in. We're real excited about having them come in. We're going to try to bring you things that are going to help you move forward. So make sure you tune in at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time on Monday night, as well as 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and that's how we do that, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, to Talking Real to You. The call-in number is 347-857-4192, or you can go to the web link to listen to the show, www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Productions. So again, we're ready to make it do what it do. So we're excited about having a chance to come before you again, come and share some great thoughts with you. We're doing it on Monday night. Now, what we also do, or what I also do, to get the show started up at 7 o'clock, I have a preview show, Talking Real to You preview show, and we'll be broadcasting on four different networks. And that network starts with YouTube television, the Smith Way channel, and then we move to Instagram. We're on there, and we'll go with Coach DR, which is Dr. Lorenza D. Smith 15. Then we'll move and make sure we're part of the Facebook, which is DRL Dialberto Smith at Facebook.com. Then we'll also be on Twitter, Periscope. So we'll be coming at you four ways live. All of our episodes are brought to you and share it with you on Facebook, share it with you on Google Plus, LinkedIn, share it with you on Tumblr, share it with you on Twitter. We try to make sure we get it all out there to you. And also our Blog Talk Radio show is available on Blog Talk Radio. Just go to the website, as I just mentioned, and type in www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production, and you can see a total of 103 or 4 episodes of what we've been doing over the last 2 years. So, again, this is a great time for us, dealing with Talking Sports Plus or the Smith Way Production, having people want to be a part of this, sharing the news that they have, and we are the vehicle to do it, so we feel good. Then on Wednesday night of next week, we'll have Talking Sports Plus at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. The call-in number is the same number that for the Monday night show, 347-857-4192. And our web link is, again, www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. So we want you to join us on Monday night and Wednesday night. Also at 7 o'clock on Wednesday, we have our preview show start at 7 o'clock, and we'll be broadcasting the four vehicles I mentioned earlier. We'll be broadcasting that way as well. So we're looking forward to having you join us. We want to make sure you have an outstanding weekend, because we brought you some hot topics that we was talking about, and we wanted you to be a part of it. And we do appreciate for those individuals joining us. And I have to give shout out to those individuals that's joining us. So let me take that opportunity and give a shout out. We have Kenesha Harris. I want to thank you, Kenesha, for joining us. You have Doc Renita. So that's Dr. Renita. Thank you. She's watching. Latoya R. Dishmew. Thank you, Latoya. Regina Hand. Thank you, Regina, for joining us. Paula Griffin. She's joining us. Paula, say hello. Hello, Paula. Thank you for joining us. LaWanda Berry is joining us, so we're real excited about having that group with us today. And we know other people are viewing it, and some of them want to just join in, be a part of it, or just walk by and look at it, flip back and forth, but they're even doing it on our web link. They're going to it and checking it out. So we're here for you every Friday, and if we rotate it around, we'll let you know. We look forward to trying to be home every Friday, but as I say earlier, we might rotate it, just do our Monday and Wednesday show, and come back the next week, do our Wednesday and Friday show. We keep our schedule posted on Facebook. If you're not a Facebook friend, you're probably not. You may walk by and click on it, but if you click on it and you just tagging off someone else, just go to DR, which is Dr. L. Dialberto smith@facebook.com. And you can just make a request to be friend. And I was looking at my number status is over 4,000, right at about 4,450-something individuals that are joining me on Facebook and consider to be Facebook friend. I appreciate you want to be a friend, but I appreciate you sharing what's going on with each one of our broadcasts. Share it with those individuals around you, your friends, your Facebook friends, so they can join us as well. And I really want this board to be lit up so that, you know, I don't have room to be able to call out all the names that's part of the show. And I do appreciate you joining us. Now, we're at the closing of the hour. We still have about four or five minutes, and we don't owe the rights to the music. That's what I was trying to get tied up and get out of here. We're about to leave, and we always going to leave you with some real positive music, and we want you to understand we don't own the rights to these songs, but we do play these songs so you can hear some real good music at the beginning of our show and at the closing of our show. I just want to tell you, I just want you to keep on grinding, and that's my hashtag. Hashtag communicate four with the number four, understanding. And last but not least, as we begin to close our show out, we're going to do something that's been a while. I hadn't had a chance to play, but I want to make sure I can play it.
Hello? Am I on? Okay, go. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I got a young man I want to introduce you to. We call him Ike Knight. Oh, yeah. I'm the music major.
I love you.
The tears rolling down your face. Your heart feeling like an old brave. Your earth feels like it's about to shake. You take it all that you can take. Oh, yeah. I remember where your hell comes from. Your life got somewhere to run. Don't worry about what you're going through. Instead of worrying, here's what you can do. Praise him anyway.
In the middle, oh yeah.
In the middle,
oh yeah.
In the middle.